Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please check out all the announcements that are in the back to see what's going on around here. A couple of things to highlight. One is that next Sunday after worship, so around 10, somewhere around there, we will be having our annual meeting. And it's important that we get good participation in that. You have a voice and vote in what goes on in the business of this congregation. And we do need to hear from you. We need your ideas, your input on all the things that go on. So please be here next Sunday after the worship service, and we will have our annual meeting. And on that same note, the annual reports are ready today. So as you leave worship, you are welcome to pick up an annual report. I think the ushers will have them here in the narthex and then also the annex. And we do ask, though, that you please take only one per household. They are rather thick, and it's a lot of paper. Let's see, I think Nick had an announcement.
Good morning, St. Paul Lutheran. I just want to let everybody know, February 9th, Wednesday, I'm hosting a spaghetti dinner for fathers and their daughters. So the way it works, you just come in, eat spaghetti, and then talk to your daughter about how beautiful your wife is. Get some Valentine's Day points, and maybe she'll leave you alone for the Super Bowl. That's it.
All right. Thanks, Nate. Are there other announcements? Yes, Linda. Okay, next Sunday, with our annual meeting going on, there still will be Sunday school. Okay. Any other announcements? Ask you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Spirit lays, turn on our hearts on
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the beginning was the Word. In the Word was life. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit, that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, We Three Kings. You may be seated.
We pray. first lesson is a reading from Nehemiah 8. All the people of Israel gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. In the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 19 responsively. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork.
One day tells the sails to another, and one night parts all to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their silence will happen to all lands, and their message begins with the world.
In the deep has he set a pavilion for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey, and honey in your
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, and restrain my mind.
The second lesson is a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, through many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this, but God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon.
As you come forward, first of all, good morning. Thank you so much for being here. As you come forward, I'm holding a black object in a circular shape. This is not a hockey puck. Have you ever seen one of these? Perfect. Ellie, what is this? It's an Echo. It's an Amazon Echo. What does an Amazon Echo do? Yes. And in exchange, it spies on us from Amazon so they can figure out what to sell us. There you go. The thing about this Echo is, Ellie, you were right. It's very smart. You can ask it all sorts of questions. You can ask it, who's the third vice president of the United States? It'll answer. Go ahead and ask it.
Alexa, who is the third vice president of the United States?
Alexa's not on.
Oh, Alexa's not on. Alexa's not on. I love this Alexa because I'm always going to use it until this child came into my life and now I have to hear I'm a gummy bear almost every day. Gemma, can you tell Alexa to sing gummy bear songs? Can someone say Alexa sing the gummy bear song? It doesn't matter, she wouldn't do it because what's wrong with her?
She's not plugged in.
Alexa is not plugged in. Ellie,
you can
say
that.
So
Alexa, this really smart device that can do all sorts of things.
you can play games isn't working, you have plugged in. Alright, so now let's plug her in. Alright, she's plugged in. What's the problem now? Oh, that's right, there's no electricity. She's not charged. She's not working. So what does all this have to do with Jesus? Well, in the first line that Pastor Tim read in today's story, he says, Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, turns to Galilee and goes up and did what Mrs. Stevenson just did. He's reading to the entire church. Filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. When we do not have the Holy Spirit, we are like this Alexa. We cannot function. We just don't work. It's impossible. Sure, we can try to read some Facebook inspirational quotes. Sure, we can try to work out. Sure, we can try to listen to motivational music. Get ready to get stronger. That's not going to work. We need the Holy Spirit with us. And it's proof. Let's look at these wonderful musicians. Look at them. Filled with the Holy Spirit. They played wonderful music so we could worship. Mrs. Stevenson up there. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Read in a very beautiful voice the words of the Bible today. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Tim will deliver a sermon. Filled with the Holy Spirit. We will serve as communion. And thus, we will have our Holy Spirit and go about our work and school. Thank you for being here. God bless. Have a good week.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Nick already kind of introduced here today, these scripture passages that we read today are about the work of the Holy Spirit. Each one of them has a little bit different way of coming about how the Holy Spirit enters into our lives and how it works within our lives. In the Old Testament lesson, the people were filled with the Spirit, so they gave worship to God. They were actually moved to tears by what was going on at that time. And they worshiped God. They listened to the scripture and they worshiped God. What was going on was a little bit of history about Israel and Judah. They had been conquered. The countryside had been torn apart, ripped apart, buildings torn down, farms burned, houses burned. The land was laid to devastation, and the people, all the able-bodied people, were taken away to become slaves. Several generations pass, and they are able, many of the people are able to come back once again to the Holy Land. And here, as we read through Nehemiah, Ezra, actually at the beginning of Ezra's book, he puts that number of returning people at 42,360, I think is what it was. And so they're coming back to their land, they're coming back to their cities, they're coming back to their villages, they're coming back to their homes, and they see the devastation. And it's pitiful. It's disheartening. It's depressing because everything had been laid to waste. Everything had grown up. It was a mess. But here Ezra reads to them from the books of Moses. He reads them the law, the Holy Scripture. And by doing so, the Holy Spirit comes into their lives and they are filled with worship. It fills them with a sense that, yes, even though we have been out of the promised land for so long, even though we have been servants and slaves, this Word of God brings them hope. And this reading from the law starts to focus them, once again, of who they are. It starts to focus their identity as the people of God. It gives them purpose. It gives them hope. It helps them to start to rebuild and saying, God is still with us. God is still here. God is still leading us. He has not abandoned us. Even in the midst of all this other stuff, God has not abandoned us. So they were ready to rebuild their cities, to rebuild their towns and villages, their homes, to dig their vineyards once again, to plant trees, to put in crops, to raise their herds,
to go back to life again as God's chosen people, as a whole people of God, once again in unity. They had been scattered out everywhere. Once again, they were able to come back, called together once again through Scripture and by that Spirit of God. Our second lesson today from 1 Corinthians is a continuation of what we read last week. If you remember, if you were here last week or listen, the Corinthian congregation was a contentious congregation, and one of the lines of division were with the gifts of the Spirit. The Corinthian people were very much blessed with good gifts of the Spirit, with prophecy, with healing, with tongues, interpretation of tongues, with working of miracles, with teachers, with prophecy. The whole list of the gifts of the Spirit. And people in that congregation were very blessed with those things. But what was happening was that they were fighting. They were saying, no, my gift is more important than yours. Can't you hear how important I am, or see what I am doing with that gift of the Spirit? And so there was conflicts. There was divisions within that. And Paul is reminding them that, yes, each individual is given gifts of the Spirit. Some of them may be more visible gifts of the Spirit, like gift of miracles or the gift of tongues with the noise. Some of them may be a little bit more quiet, like the gift of serving, the gift of healing. It's not readily visible, but it's still present. And Paul reminds the Corinthians that these are not for lifting yourself up. It's not for saying, I am more important. It's not to say, see how good I am. See how good of a Christian I am because I have this wonderful gift. No, that's not the reason you are given the gifts of the Spirit. You're given those gifts for the common good. It's for the other people around you. It's for the people of the congregation. It's for spreading that word of God. God has blessed this congregation richly with gifts of the Spirit. And all the gifts are needed. We need all these things. We come together as a congregation. And it's not for us personally. It's not just so that I can lift myself up because I have such good gifts. It's so that we can lift each other up. We come together. We praise God in songs. Many have good gifts of music to be able to sing or to play instruments. Others have wonderful gifts of teaching. We come together and we teach each other's children. Others have other gifts of wisdom, of being able to make decisions and to lead. Others have wonderful gifts of knowledge, that ability to study and to relate what they know to other people and to help guide them. We have many, many wonderful gifts of the Spirit within this congregation. And we come together as a congregation to lift each other up, to listen to one another, to heal one another, to share our joys with each other, to share our sorrows and our suffering with each other. As Paul is writing in this second lesson, he says, we share in our joys together, we share in our sufferings together. We come together as a congregation. And we come together and sometimes it's loud and boisterous with all the noises of the children, with the loud singing or praying or sometimes even arguing or maybe it's that old man snoring during the sermon. We hear the noises of worship. We hear the noises of ministry going around us and through us. And that Spirit is working in us through this place. We come together to hear God's word and to be filled with that Spirit. And that is a good thing. But if it stops here, then it really doesn't help much. That's not our mission. That is not our purpose. In the Old Testament lesson, the purpose was to rebuild their land, to rebuild their nation, to rebuild their unity as the people of God. Our mission here is not just to minister amongst ourselves or build ourselves up. That's only part of the purpose. That's only a reason for doing that. There is another reason for doing that. And that is the true purpose of spreading that to other people, of spreading that good news to other people. It's for the common good. Not only the common good of this congregation, it's for the common good of our community. Our mission is to go out to those folks that we do know that have not yet heard the word of Jesus Christ in such a way that they believe. Our mission is to go out and help them to believe, to let them understand what is so important about Jesus Christ. What is so important about our faith? How has God touched your life? And so we go out to our friends, our neighbors, maybe family members, people we work with, people we go to school with, people we play with, to go spread that good news. But it's not only for here locally. The great commission that Jesus gave as he was ascending up into heaven was, go therefore to all nations. It's worldwide. And thanks be to God that the disciples took this to be worldwide. Because if the disciples did not go out and spread that good news, we would not be Christians. We would not be sitting here in church. We would be floundering. We would be hurting. We would be in a bigger mess than we are altogether as a world. But it was spread throughout the generations. It continued to spread. It was passed down from generation to generation. And it comes now to us. But God doesn't leave us alone. He gives us those gifts of the Holy Spirit. He fills us with the tools that we need to go out and do that ministry. In our gospel lesson, Jesus Christ is the example of that. Our story that we took out of Luke today, that was read out of Luke today, is the very first of his ministry according to Luke. Jesus had just been baptized. The Spirit drove him out into the wilderness where he fasted for 40 days, 40 nights, and was tempted by Satan. And then it begins today. Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee. He returns to his home territory, the towns, the villages around where he grew up, places that he knew around the Sea of Galilee. And he begins to teach in those towns and villages. And word starts to spread that here is a very learned teacher. Here is somebody who knows, somebody who teaches and preaches with authority. And the people were amazed. And it was starting to raise a ruckus. And Jesus then goes to his own hometown. And he does the same thing. On the Sabbath, he goes to the synagogue. He is invited to speak. He is handed the roll of Isaiah. He finds that passage that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He came to proclaim that to the people of what is going on. This prophecy from Isaiah. And he says, this has been fulfilled in your hearing today. Jesus brings that message to the people of his own hometown. And as we read next week, it doesn't go so well. At first, they are amazed. At first, the people are amazed. This is our own kid. We knew him as he grew up. And here he is with all this knowledge, with all this wisdom, fulfilling prophecies. But that was Jesus' mission, was to go and proclaim that good news of the coming kingdom of God. He goes out. He continues in his teaching, his preaching, the miracles he performs, the healing, the touch he gives to the oppressed. That is the mission, to go out. If we stay right here in this congregation and help each other out, then we just become a social club. We become a like-minded group of people who come together to feel good. That's not what church is all about. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is to come together, to learn, to worship God, to realize the gifts of the Spirit that we have, and to go out and spread that, to bring that message to other people. And when we do that, we have given a precise way exactly how to do that here in our gospel lesson. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, we have been anointed to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim the release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. We let the oppressed go free, and we proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And hopefully, as a congregation, we too can say, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in our hearing. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn softly and tenderly. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
If you believe in Him, your heart is sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
We believe in one God, Father and Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe. Amen.
Let us draw near to the throne of grace, offering prayer and supplication on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Lord God, thank you for your word, given to us as Holy Scripture, the sure foundation for life as your beloved community. Thank you for your word made flesh in your Son, Jesus Christ. Conform our lives to his. Send us with your word to all who are blinded by distractions, deafened by voices of pleasure and power, lamed by suffering, imprisoned by sin, and impoverished in body, mind, or spirit. Lord, in your mercy, we pray, your persecuted disciples, do not let us despise or ignore their suffering or their testimony. Say to them, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Lord, in your mercy, build up the body of Christ in this congregation. Help us to accept, develop, and share the gifts you have given each of us. Teach us to encourage and rejoice in the gifts of others, whether those gifts seem small or great. Let all be done to your glory and to share your mercy with those around us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray, therefore, on behalf of shut-ins, the physically and mentally challenged, the frail, and everyone whose gifts are often overlooked or despised, even by themselves. Grant that, following our Lord's example, we may honor them, and that we may rejoice together as fellow members of his body. Lord, in your mercy. Teach your precepts to all who take counsel for the nations, to our military, and to our first responders. Grant them wisdom, integrity, and common sense. Let all of us live peacefully, work fruitfully, and enjoy the many blessings and gifts which you have provided for the benefit of all. Lord, in your mercy. Your Son bestowed healing, sight, freedom, and good news to all who are in bondage to the powers of sin, evil, and death. We lift before you the needs of all who need his strong, saving love. Visit them with your salvation. Heal their bodies and revive their hearts, and let them rejoice with you. We pray especially for John Wilkerson, Sonny Seifert, Lynn Magura. Lord, in your mercy. In thanksgiving, we lift before you the saints for whom the promise of salvation has now been fulfilled. Tend to those who mourn. Bring us together in your everlasting glory. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously hear and generously answer our prayers, dear Father, in accordance with your wisdom and mercy for us. We pray in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the offering. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is "We Are Marching in the Light of God." As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.